Dottle Talks Tech, episode number 33, Sean Mullen and the Rampant Style. Dottle.
It's Dottle Talks Tech with James DeRuvo.
Never touch another man's butt.
Online at dottlenews.com.
Drag and drop visual effects is the topic of today's Dottle Talks Technology, and with me is Sean Mullen, the lead creative and CEO of Rampant Design. Sean is an Emmy Award-winning visual effects artist with over 60 feature film and television credits, including Charmed, Ally McBeal, ER, and one of my personal favorites, Buffy the Vampire Slayer. Additionally, he has worked on hundreds of music videos for artists from Mariah Carey to Snoop Dogg, and has worked on commercial clients including Disney, Universal, Bush Entertainment, and Sony. Sean's feature work includes Any Given Sunday, Lake Placid, Idle Hands, and Dude, Where's My Car? Sean now hands up Rampant Design Incorporated, and they're the creator of what we like to call drag and drop visual effects. Sean, thanks for joining us on Dottle Talks Technology.
Thanks for having me. It's an honor to be here.
So, Buffy the Vampire Slayer.
Yeah.
Dude, one of my favorite TV shows. Love that show.
That was a lot of fun to work on.
That was like when visual effects, when CGI visual effects were just getting started in television.
Yeah, I mean, this was back when Herc and Xena and Charmed, and this was back when everything was done by hand. So when you painted out rigs, you were doing it frame by frame. You were using, you know, Commotion, After Effects. Everything was very primitive. You were relying a lot on Photoshop. There was very little automation tools, and tracking was terrible. It was all point tracking. So you'd end up doing a lot more roto and hand painting than you would today.
Yeah, I remember back around that same time I was working on Babylon 5.
Oh, I love B5.
And they used a lot of toaster.
Oh yeah. Did you know Mark Kaczynski?
I recall the name.
I used to work with him. Okay. I used to work with him a long time ago. He worked on B5.
Yeah. Yeah, they used a lot of toaster, which I thought was really, really interesting. But, you know, it held up. And so it was thinking back to those days where, you know, you're doing all this painting and let's face it, you're on a TV deadline and TV budget. That couldn't have been easy.
We were lucky to do production between 3 and 5 days per episode, turning around on the fifth day and starting again on day six. As soon as you are able to catch your breath, you're starting all over again. And, you know, the episodes could have anywhere from 50 effects to several hundred effects, depending upon the storyline.
Depending upon how many vampires Buffy was killing.
Right, exactly. Depending upon what exactly it is that the script had called for. And it didn't matter if there was one effect or 1,000. You just had to figure out a way to get it done with a very small team.
And so your post-production workflow was only a couple of days?
Oh, yeah. On any episodic that I ever worked on, I never got more than 5 days to work on an episodic. Not even 5 days. Delivery would include the fifth day. So you really only get like 4.5 days.
So is this where the seeds of drag and drop visual effects were planted in you?
Oh, absolutely. You create an arsenal. You create your own toolbox. And you rely very heavily on things that you shot or create outside of your schedule to help you later on. So you would dig into your tool chest essentially and go, okay, wait, I'm doing a fire effect here, so let me dig into my fire library and like, oh, this would be great and this would be great, and you start developing your bag of tricks so you can maintain a level of quality but at the same time meet your deadlines.
Okay, so tell me about Rampant Design and the approach, this drag and drop visual effects approach, because obviously it was born out of the notion of there has to be a better way. Everything is. So tell me Rampant's view of it.
You're absolutely right. This was completely born out of there has to be a better way. When I left Hollywood, I went over to commercial side and worked for big corporations and did a lot of stuff for the National Guard and for Disney and Universal. And the story is always the same, that they want a massive amount of effects and something unreasonably good in no time. Everything's due yesterday. It doesn't matter what project you work on or who you're working for. So when I started working out with a bunch of editors, their constant problem was they were busy cutting until the very last day of deadline. They weren't able to stylize anything. So it was my job to figure out what can I do for these guys and girls who are amazingly talented at telling a story but have zero time to stylize anything. What can I do for them? Because they don't have time necessarily to give me their timelines all the time. So I started creating drag and drop effects that both editors and compositors could use. And before you knew it, my drives were going out all the time. I used to have many, many drives of these effects that would just go out to friends all the time, and they would constantly ask me for more. And that's basically how Rampant was born.
So tell me what the package – it's called Style Effects. Is that the first package that you brought out?
Yeah, our entire library we refer to as Style Effects, and it's basically QuickTime-based handcrafted drag-and-drop visual effects for both editors and graphic artists and visual effects artists.
So this would be like lighting effects, flame effects, smoke effects, gunshots.
Yeah, you name it. I mean, bokeh, dust, fire, light impacts, reflections, distortions, flares, you name it. We've got something in the library. We've got it in the neighborhood of around 15,000 effects right now.
Wow, that's a lot.
Yeah, we're in production for about another 10.
10,000.
Yes, 10,000. Not just 10 more, but 10,000 more.
Yeah, you were telling me about the client expectations versus versus what the budget and the time and the workflow is. And I was reminded of one of my favorite visual effects memes on the internet is kind of wrapped around that movie about the kid that that gets shipwrecked with a tiger.
Life of Pi.
Life
yes.
of Pi. Yep. And this meme is it shows a still from Life of Pi, and it says client expectations, and then the next still is client budget, and it's a little kid in a diaper with a stuffed animal.
Exactly. And that's unfortunately the reality of our industry.
So how do they work? How if I'm buying into your Style Effects library and looking and finding, I found exactly what I need, what is it that I need to do to apply it to my visual effects story?
Well, the great thing about our effects is that they're platform and software agnostic. So Mac or PC, it doesn't matter what editing or compositing software you're using. As long as you can read QuickTime, you can use our effects. So you just import our QuickTimes like you would any other footage, and then you drag them over your timeline, and you typically would use a blending mode, or in some cases we have alpha channels already pre-built for some of the things. I don't put alphas in light effects because that's a no-no in my mind, but everything else is just a blend mode. So you, for example, if you want to have a lighting effect over an edit, you want to use some kind of a cool light effect as a transition, like a lot of reality shows use our stuff, you drag the lighting effect over your timeline, over your edit, and you switch the blend mode from normal to screen or add or overlay or whatever you like to make it look the way you want it to look.
Okay, and so literally, I take it's literally just going through your extensive library online, finding the effects you want, downloading them, inputting your credit card number, and going from there.
Yes, we also have every single one of our volumes has free effects. So you can go to 4kfree.com and you can get hundreds of our effects absolutely free. So you can try our high resolution 4K elements out without any credit card, without any kind of commitment of any kind. And you can use them in your professional work today.
And that's also so you can practice.
Absolutely. Absolutely.
So does it require a high learning curve to use Style Effects as far as obviously, if you're already used to visual effects work, this is going to be like a cakewalk for you. But people who are just starting out in the realm of visual effects and they want to use drag and drop effects to up their game while they're learning the hard stuff, is there an education track that Rampant Design provides, resources that enables them to learn how to use these to the best of their ability so that they're seamless?
Well, the great thing about our effects is if you can drag a clip into your timeline, you can use anything that we offer. However, we do offer extensive training. I do all of our Adobe training here, and I've got probably like 20 tutorials already that show you how you can take these effects even further. But this works for everybody. It doesn't matter if you're brand new to video, if you're doing weddings, if you're doing corporate, if you're doing commercials, feature films. It doesn't matter what you're working on. We have something for everybody. So if you're a master chef, if you will, and you'll just see how we save you lots of time and effort, and you can stack our elements and make your own. We've got a lot of famous editors in LA who like to mix and match our effects to create their own, and they're very complex. Or you can go as easy as just dragging an effect over your timeline and you're done.
So you can customize them.
Oh, absolutely. Absolutely. And they work great with your favorite plugins, too. I mean, we work really great with Video Copilot and Red Giant, so it's not an alternative. It's more of adding to your arsenal.
Now, even though you have 15,000 visual effects, is the common mistake that entry-level effects artists do is that they tend to use the same effects over and over again, and it become or this that others have used, and so therefore, for the practice eye like you, you go, oh, I know what effect that is, or I know where they got that, or you know, does that become a case of does it become cookie cutter, I guess is what I'm asking. Or are your effects, for lack of a better term, invisible to that type of scrutiny?
That's why we offer so many, is the odds of you saying, oh, that's rampant light effect 13 is very, very difficult for you to come up with that.
Know what I'm saying, though.
Oh, I totally know what you're saying. Because here's what's going to happen. It doesn't matter if you're using plugins or RFX or whatever. You're busy, so you're going to go back to your favorite 10, 20 effects that you always use, whether it's a plugin or a drag and drop effect, and because it's easy. You know it's going to work. You rely on it. You don't have to test it. So people get in the habit of doing that in their work. The great thing about our elements is that because they're 4K, even if you use the same five clips and you're working in HD, you can reposition, you can scale, you can rotate, so that one clip becomes something in the neighborhood of 30-40 effects, you know. So it's really hard to identify our effects, but you're absolutely right. There will be people out there who just find that one flash that they love, and they're just going to use it throughout their entire timeline and all their projects.
Please tell me you don't have lens flares.
Oh, I have real, but my lens flares are real. I got J.J. Abrams in a box, my friend.
Oh, J.J. Abrams in a box. I think I just changed the name of the episode now. J.J. Abrams in a box.
Yeah, our flares are 100% real.
But in a good way.
Oh, absolutely. Absolutely. I mean, if you want to put 1,000 flares in your project, I'm not going to stop you. I don't judge. You know, it's all good.
I remember when they first signed him on to Star Wars and he had to promise that he wasn't going to use lens flares.
That's funny.
So, who's out there? Are there any films out there right now that are using your rampant effects?
There are. Unfortunately, because everyone's so litigious, I'm not allowed to say very specific projects. However, I will say this. You cannot watch any of the primetime networks during Monday through Friday without seeing our effects. You can't. And right now there are at least 4 films in theaters right this second that are using our effects. But I'm not allowed to say anything because everyone's so afraid and I can't get clearance. There's so many lawyers who are like, we love your stuff, but you can't use it. You know?
Plus also, let's face it, the visual effects artists don't want the studios to know how easy it's become.
That's true, because then the rates will go even lower. Nobody wants that.
Does it kind of shock you that in just since the days of Buffy the Vampire Slayer, we've gone from having a serious, like you said, you know, having a serious special effects department where you have to have CGI rendering farms and you know, big gigantic computers and all this. Now you can do all this stuff on a laptop.
Yeah, I mean,
I can do visual effects on my phone.
Yeah, that's true. I mean, with any of the Adobe software or Apple software out there, you can be a powerhouse and you can compete at a professional level with off the shelf hardware and software. It's pretty amazing.
So, people are just starting out in visual effects, and they're like you know, I've got a son in high school, and he's interested in visual effects. He uses that J.J. Abrams action movie effects on my phone all the time. When I get home, he like literally rips my phone out of my hand and starts playing. So he's just starting out, and obviously this is a good way to get started. What would you recommend for the new budding visual effects artist to develop his baseline skill set? What is it that, you know, you see where I'm going with this?
Oh, absolutely.
Because using drag and drop effects is really good to really turn your project up to 11 when you're just starting, or even when you're on a tight deadline and you're a professional. But it also helps to have that background skill set so that you can manipulate the effects and customize them and that type of thing. So tell me, if you're talking to my son or any entry-level effects artist out there, what would you recommend as far as getting a good foundation?
Just like you said, right now is a great time to be alive. You know, 20 years ago when I was getting into visual effects on a professional level, you had to go to film school. There was no way to learn. You had to learn from the masters. And I'm grateful that the people who taught me, you know, worked in Star Wars and the original Star Wars. And, you know, I learned from the masters. However, now you can learn a lot on YouTube. I would recommend 2 things. It's always good to know the fundamentals. So make sure you become proficient in rotoscoping, which is essentially masking. Learn Mocha. learn masking in After Effects or Nuke or Shake or Silhouette, any roto software you can get your hands on, make sure you understand roto because it's the foundation of 100% of the visual effects out there. Make sure you know how to do tracking. And if you're just learning, the absolute best resource out there for learning how to do the kinds of visual effects that you want to do, like, oh, I want to make this car blow up or I want to make a person disappear or whatever, I would check out Film Riot. Ryan Connolly and his crew are unbelievably great at teaching people how to do things and breaking down how visual effects work. And, if they had Film Riot when I was a kid, I wouldn't have gone to film school.
Let me tell you, I had Ryan on the podcast about 6 months ago. And you're right. He's incredibly informative, but he does it in such a funny way that I was in tears almost through the entire episode because it's just he is one of my favorite shows on YouTube because of the fact that they not only teach you how to do stuff, but it's memorable because they do it in such a funny way.
Oh, it should be a broadcast. They should find a network to put Film Riot on because I never stop laughing, and it's just really entertaining. So even if you don't want to follow along and create effects yourself, it's just really informative and entertaining on how to create effects in your on your desktop machine. And like you said, Ryan's hilarious. I love those guys.
It's kind of like the Sports Center of visual effects.
Oh, absolutely. That means no holds barred. The stuff they say and they do, I just I have to make sure I'm not drinking water or anything while I'm watching the show because invariably my monitor gets covered in water every time I watch an episode.
Yeah, it's hysterical. And then there's like also video co-pilots out there. They do a pretty good job of.
I know
they're the competition, but they do a pretty good job with tutorials and everything like that. But I'm interested in the tutorials that you cover for. Now, are your tutorials just wrapped around style effects, or is it providing the foundation of rotoscoping and that type of thing?
It's a little bit of both. I used to have a show for another company a long time ago about how to start off in visual effects, and I stopped doing that, and I went to our own stuff, and it's really helping editors. It's not really visual effects. I have some friends who really want me to get back into it, but with Ryan doing his thing, it's just there's just no point. He covers everything, and he's amazing, and I'm just, quite frankly, not as awesome as Ryan is. So my tutorials are teaching editors how to use Adobe Premiere and get what you want in the box without necessarily going to After Effects or maybe just a little bit of After Effects, nothing scary. And it's really designed to help editors up their game without having to rely on anybody else.
Have you played around with Fusion and Blackmagic's DaVinci as far as their new editing features that they've added to the color grading?
Oh yeah, I mean it's
because they're not even kidding pretending anymore. They just flat out say it's a full blown editor now.
Look, in 5 years, we might all be in working in the Blackmagic environment. It's very possible that takes over. They're definitely a candidate, and I used Fusion way back in the day, and now that it's coming back and they're bringing it to the Mac, that's phenomenal to me. And I'll probably use Fusion. The only issue with Fusion and DaVinci is for people first starting out, a little bit of a learning curve. But once you get past that, it's pretty awesome. But for right this second, I'm sticking with the Creative Cloud and working with that software.
So that's your foundational platform is Adobe Creative Cloud.
Yeah, I use pretty much everything on the market, but I really love Creative Cloud, especially as a business owner. It's very inexpensive, and I get my hands on apps that I would have never bought outright or individually if it wasn't available, in the whole bundle.
That is the thing. I mean, I sat down when they first announced Creative Cloud. I actually sat down and did the math, and the fact is that you are spending far less money paying that $50 a month.
Yeah.
For the entire suite than you would having to buy it every 2 years. Because you'd have to buy it every 2 years.
Yeah, or you try to stretch it out. Yeah.
Right, and you get the updates as they happen.
Which is a wonderful thing. Getting CC 2015 the day it came out was pretty amazing.
Yeah, and so I do see the absolute benefit of it. They did have a few hiccups here and there, but it does seem to be running like a clock now. And that's so much so that everybody else is going to the online subscription business model.
Yeah, I mean
Avid is doing it now with Avid Everywhere, and I'm just assuming that eventually everybody's going to go that way.
I would imagine if you're developing software, it only makes sense.
Yeah, I mean, it protects your software from piracy, but it also enables you to roll out that. You also have Red Giant Universe. It enables you to roll out those updates all the time.
All the time.
Which is really, really kind of cool. So how often do you come out with new style effects?
Um, I my wife, who runs the other side of the company, she likes to keep me locked in my studio. So I'm pretty much 7 days a week. I'm releasing something, at least one new volume every month. Last month we released 9. This month we're probably going to release another 8 or 9. So I'm constantly working, depending on the needs and the trends of the industry. Right now we're doing a lot of transitions and flat effects and things that you see trending right now. So we're always, you know, right there. Coming out with new content that people are seeing on television or films right this second.
And so let's just give me a brief overview of the different volumes that you have so that we can get a mental picture of the library on the digital wall. That you know, if I walk into your digital library and I see, oh, okay, I'll pull up that, the lens flares, and I'll put. So just give me a brief overview of the various categories of style effects that you carry.
Sure. Well, we've got film and light effects, which are, you know, like bokeh, impact lights, light overlays. We've got color overlays. We've got mattes, which are very popular. We've got distortion effects. We've got flares, all kinds of high-powered, high-impact lights. We have soft, subtle color overlays. We have film effects. We have film clutter, film grunge, film transitions. We also have ink and paint and smoke and fire and dust and embers and sparks and snow. We've got reflections. We've got all kinds of things. We've got grunge effects. We've got all kinds of flare transitions. We've got. I mean, it just keeps on going.
And going and going. Well, 15,000, another 10 coming down the pike. So, what is the investment for Rampant Design Style Effects? If I'm going to buy it, what's it going to cost me?
We're always having sales. Like I said before, you can go to 4kfree.com and get something from any volume absolutely free. And if you download everything, you're going to get a couple hundred absolutely free. So you can pick and choose what you like. Or if you're like the studios, you just want everything. Right now we've got a sale where I think you're getting all the effects in 4K for $1,400. And that comes on a hard drive. But individual volumes are as low as $39. So, I mean, we're really affordable. It just depends on what you're looking for.
So you can buy the whole kit and caboodle for $1,400 mm-hmm. or piecemeal for $39.
Right. That's in 2K. 4K is a little bit more expensive, but we offer everything in 2K, 4K, or 5K. So depending upon what resolution you're working in, you can get a pretty good deal. Like 2K, I think, is $799 for everything.
Wow, that's not bad.
No.
That is not bad at all for a deal. So tell me, where do you think we're going in an industry? I mean, we've been going through, as far as the visual effects go, we've been kind of going through a shakeout process as some have merged, some have gone out of business, and the visual effects artists are facing a stark reality now. Where do you think we're going?
Well, I mean, I don't remember when this was, but I believe it was the Sony executive who said if he didn't put a visual effects company out of business with every film, he wasn't doing his job. And that's cruel, that's also the reality of Hollywood. So I think what's happening is, you know, there's all the tax incentives where they're trying to get, you know, keep movies in the United States. Or, you know, I think what's going to happen is you're going to get a lot of cloud-based work. You're going to have studios that might be in L.A. or might be, you know, in a major city, but they're working with remote artists through the cloud, or, you know, just doing a lot of collaborative work. I also think that the rise of the independent filmmaker, as you see, like the Ryan Connollys are they have their own Triune Films. There are dozens of companies like this popping up where it's a handful of people. They're producing really quality work, and it's all done on desktop. So I think you know, the days of a one-ton grip truck and a massive crew are limited only to Hollywood, and everyone else is getting by with skeleton crew, very affordable LED lighting, you know, decent glass. Cameras are very, very inexpensive now, and same with post. So I think if you're not doing it by yourself, I think you're doing it with a very small team and probably remotely through, you know, like Whipster or Dropbox or something, and you're just able to compete on a global level with, you know, under 10 people.
So what's next for Rampant Design?
We're always evolving.
It's just a gradual evolution. It's just all wrapped around style effects. You don't have like a Skunk Works division that deals with crazy stuff.
We do, and I have a studio full of all kinds of weird toys and ideas. And at any time, I've got 40 or 50 projects that are in some evolution of or some variation of completion. And we have all kinds of things that we're working on. We're working on sound design stuff. We're working on actual gear. We're working on some software. You know, there's in the future, Rampant will evolve into other things. But right this very second, we're sticking to StyleFX, and we've got a texture library coming out up to 14K. So, you know, if you're doing billboard work, we got you covered. You know, it's just we're constantly evolving. Whatever the needs of our artists are, or whatever the needs of our customers are, we're always there to help out. And if 8K becomes the thing, we'll have an 8K library. You know, it's it really just.
Yo, that's gonna happen now that Red's pushing out the weapon upgrade.
Yep.
So we are going into the 8K realm now. How easy is it to up-res 15,000 visual effects?
Oh no, that's one thing I do not believe in. Unless they shoot me and replace me, I will not ever up-res any effects. So if 8K becomes the necessary thing,
building them from the ground up.
Absolutely, I will never up-res anything. That's a huge no-no as far as I'm concerned.
Now I do understand that some of the movies in theaters today may be using Rampant tools, and you can't really brag about it. But I do know, because a little bird just told me, that you can see some of these effects in, since we were talking about Film Riot, in one of the short films during Film Riot's Epic Summer.
Yes, and we were so blown away when he came out and said this, but Seth Worley said that the fire, much of the fire that you see in his in the final scene of his film Real Gone is Rampant, and he goes into detail on that in the behind the scenes. And when that came out, I almost fell out of my chair because I'm a huge fan of the Triune Films and all those guys, and I love Ryan, I love Seth, so it's amazing that they came out and said, oh yeah, this is Rampant fire. I was like, that was the best day ever.
All right, well. My guest has been Sean Mullen of Rampant Design. For more information, you can head over to rampantdesigntools.com. Sean, thanks for joining us on Dottle Talks Technology.
Thanks for having me.
You've been listening to Dottle Talks Technology. For more information, visit our website at www.news.dottleme.com. Got a question or comment? There's several ways to get a hold of us. You can drop me a line at james@dottleme.com or on Twitter @dottle. You can like us on Facebook and also subscribe and leave us feedback on iTunes. Dottle Talks Technology is a copyrighted podcast from Dottle News, copyright 2013. Thanks for listening.